This piece was brought to you by Roberta's. Roberta'sPizza.com.
I'm Linda Pelaccio, host of A Taste of the Past. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Eating Disorder. My name is Paul Gerard.
Who dat?
Welcome. It's nice to be back. Please welcome my co-host, who I've missed very much, the Reverend Spiro.
What up?
And Mr. Crazy Legs Conti.
I am present.
Present and available.
I am available.
Although I heard you weren't very present this weekend. Or you were present, but you don't remember much of it.
No, huh? It wasn't necessarily like a weekend to never forget that you might not remember, so much as mutual acquaintances. I'll go with that. Both the co-hosts. So I'll start with the Rev, who plays in a band with Steve, who owns Otto's Shrunken Head. Yeah. Great guy.
And alumni. He's been a ghost.
Alumni. Yeah. 10 years ago, every Wednesday.
We have
for
alumni?
3 years.
Is that how we refer to
alumni?
Our...
The University of Eating Disorder.
Oh, very
no
nice.
One ever graduates. we had a reunion for Dr. Jellyfinger's Paradise Jam, which was a open mic musical jam we ran for 3 years, supported the bar, the whole thing. And the way New York has changed is perhaps the way Tiki Bars has changed. Someone flew in from San Diego.
And boy, are his arms tied.
Yeah. Oh. And let's just say they lit up a substance in the back and 30 people got ejected. Rightfully so. I mean, we could have all handled it better.
Wait, that's the story? Everybody got 30 people got thrown out for smoking weed?
No, one person smoked weed and then the 29 other people tried to defend it, and we got not a fracas. We did lie. We pretended that it was our twin sister.
I thought that story was going to be much worse.
Well, we went to 11th Street Bar. It all worked out. We did a cappella.
They let you smoke weed there.
Yeah, pretty much. Till 3 a.m. around the corner. I'm not a weed smoker. But then, today, so as you know, and listeners know, I am a care, is it caregiver? Caretaker? What am I? I babysit, but he's older than a baby. I'm a manny. I'm a manny.
A manny.
For
yeah.
a six-year-old. Now, to maintain the privacy of the much more famous parent that I ran into, I won't say where we were today, but I bumped into someone who I know. I have two mutual acquaintances. Should I say the name first, or should I tell the story first?
And this is in relation to me.
To you, yeah, yeah. I'm going out to Chef Paul.
Okay.
So I said, hey, we have some mutual friends. My very good friend Dinshaw was your bartender way back at the old Siberia.
Oh, wait. In the email to me, you said it was from my Vivid days. Like, is that like
what,
a porn reference?
No, no, no. Vivid, like the adjective, not the
Oh, because those
Caballero.
Have never been released.
You and
back
Stallone.
In the day, he didn't have any Vivid days.
No. It was more of a restaurant video.
Yeah. They were blurry days.
I said, you know, my buddy Dinshaw was your bartender, and he plays at the pier. And I said, I also co-host a podcast with Chef Paul Gerard. He said, oh, well, say hello to Paul for me. But he didn't want to say hello to Dinshaw. It was Anthony Bourdain. We had a nice chat today.
So
I wanted to give you the shout-out. But I was still amazed that he didn't want to say hello to Dinshaw. I don't know if those days of drinking Bud bottles with a one
yeah,
one
I mean, he's
spur kinda, on him.
He's kind of like me in that way. That we just don't remember a lot of the stuff.
Right, wait, Anthony, who's this guy?
Anthony Bourdain. Yeah. I told him he was spot on about Singapore, and then we went our separate ways to pick up respective
he's
children.
Like, he's involved in cooking somehow?
Perhaps, cooking and writing. But, I mean, it's all food. It's all food disaster, food trends.
Absolutely.
It's happening.
A very good that we have our guest for tonight who can lead us comfortably through the storm of food disasters and food trends. Our guest tonight is Stephanie Sack. She is the author of What the Fork Are You Eating? An Action Plan for Your Pantry and Plate. Welcome, Stephanie.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for having me, guys.
Oh, well, we are honored to have you here. Now, our Twitter handle
But by the time you're gone, you may
yeah,
not be honored.
Yeah, you'll be dishonored. You're honored. You'll be dishonored, perhaps. Our Twitter handle is Fork You Radio.
Fork You Radio,
and your most recent book, you've contributed to a bunch of other books that we'll get into, is What the Fork Are You Eating? So there's a little bit of a tongue-in-cheek pun intended, scenario.
We like to fork off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is hard
know.
For somebody from Brooklyn to say.
And I brought corn. We're very visual radio. I brought corn from the farmer's market, New Jersey sweet corn. Supposed to be an ear for everybody here, but I got hungry on the L train. And I bought a South American chili donut from Dough on 19th Street that no one wants to try. But I'm telling you, it's a spicy donut.
And it's sitting right next to my book.
It is sitting right next to your book. So,
yeah, and that's the reason I don't want to try it. It's like, dude, I don't want to mess up my freaking fingers and then touch your book. I mean, what is
there's
wrong
a little
with
napkin there. You probably aren't familiar with napkins. What is that, a wax paper?
Yeah, exactly.
Who's the napkin for the person who served you the donut?
I mean,
no?
You could lick your fingers.
Oh no.
You have no idea where they've been. No.
Yeah. It's funny because no one else offered
Actually, I'm not worried about my fingers. I'm worried about my mouth.
Where your mouth has been.
Yeah, exactly.
So, Stephanie, we were hoping that you could help bring some of this knowledge to the cretins in the room, and you know, you and I have talked about it before. You know, your perceived blue blooded education,
but translating it to the blue collar man.
I read the bio, Columbia.
Yeah. Yes.
And you have a lot of letters after your name.
Did you say you were Colombian?
No, the donut is South American chili. It may be Colombian. Can we go with, because I love when, like, it
took
me years.
Do you want to understand
Esquire.
What all those letters are?
Yeah, because you're a British editor, right? No, that's something else. Stephanie Sachs, MS.
Masters of Science.
Okay.
In nutrition.
CNS, that's a cable channel? No,
it's actually not.
All right, sorry.
It's Certified Nutrition Specialist.
Certified Nutrition, and the last one is CDN.
What do you think that is? Let's have you guess.
Well, C, I now feel
dentist,
certified. And then the N, I'm going to go with nutrition. So the D in the middle.
Digestive?
Did you say? Oh, did you say dental when you said digestive?
I thought it was a dentist.
Dietitian.
Oh, dietitian.
Yeah.
I always joke that I have ADD and OCD right after that. Those are my favorite letters.
Spiro has C after his name. The Rev Spiro C, certified.
He's 50 years old?
Certifiable.
Chef Paul, did you have a topic or something?
I have a lot of topics. All right. I have a lot of questions. I was actually having a very interesting conversation with somebody today who they were talking to me about organic and all the things they use, all the things they buy, the way that they run their household, and in our conversation, everything was just so ridiculously clouded, you know. So I was hoping that you could help us.
So what were they doing? Like showing off that they bought 100% organic?
No, not at all.
I
think it's one of the things that we often talk about, that they have the best of intentions.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
And in playing devil's advocate, I was like, they said, well, I buy all organic for my family. And I said, well, a bunch of it comes from China. And they were like, what? Oh, I didn't know that.
Right.
You know, like, and everything that they kept bringing up about free range or natural.
Yeah.
Everything, you know, including they were telling me that they don't buy, you know, flame retardant clothes for their kids.
right.
You know? They don't give them plastic bags to put over their heads. For
yeah, exactly. No dry cleaning bags left
exactly.
around.
You know, one of my I'll answer that with a little story. You know, I did speak at TED, and I know you joke about that.
TED or TEDx? Come on.
Well, it was TEDx in Manhattan. So TEDx Manhattan.
That's the 10th Seth MacFarlane movie with
TEDx
Wahlberg
Manhattan
and the teddy bear.
Cool.
So
I didn't even think 3 through 9 came out. Okay, keep going, Stephanie. I'm listening.
So the point is that Danny Meyer got up and was talking about sort of this fast casual and where his restaurants, sort of how his restaurants were birthed. And then he ends with Shake Shack and how proud he is that he's carrying all natural beef.
Mm.
Okay. Mm. So fairly educated audience when it comes to food and the verbiage that's used for food.
Wait,
and then
define fairly educated.
Well, they've been to LaGuardia Airport at
exactly,
8 a.m. and bought a concrete shake and a shroom burger, which is like a vegetable cow patty.
Fairly educated in terms of they know what natural really means.
All right.
How about that?
All right, that's cool.
So then the head of sustainability at Consumers Union stands up after he speaks, because now it's her turn to speak, and she said that they're actually launching a campaign called Kill Natural, because the term actually means nothing. It means minimally processed without artificial ingredients. And so Danny was boasting about carrying all natural beef.
Right.
Yet at the same time, that term natural is losing its meaning. And
which
so,
is where organic is going.
Well, yeah. It organic is incredibly diluted. Absolutely. Yeah.
We are going to have a lot of solipsistic vegans at Shake Shack now. Just thinking they're all alone in the world. What?
And then vegans going to go the same way.
We're going to have a lot of...
Vegan, they're going to be vegans eating big knuckles because they're not meat. You know?
So labeling and food. And Stephanie, if I can paraphrase what the fork are you eating, I learned something very early on in the book. Abraham Lincoln started the USDA.
How do you like that?
That was an amazing fact you wrote about, which I felt like in today's climate, obviously Lincoln gets a lot of credit and we're still fighting the good fight for the Civil War movement, but not a lot of people are like, and don't forget, food labeling. Lincoln, baby, he made it happen. 1900s, food labeling starts, but really...
I heard that he wrote the guidelines for organic on the back of an envelope.
Yes. Well, the original yogurt expiration was 80, and I'm so bad, I can't even remember it.
Oh, my God.
But I thought that was
cultural
an amazing,
humor. Oh, my God.
To go from then, in the 1900s, through Upton Sinclair, and we've had, last week we had a great kids book for adults, adults kid for book, Animals We Eat, with Burns and Schmitty. We have a lot of discussion of looking at a label and thinking this is what's inside. And clearly going from natural to organic, it is not the case. And you go through a lot of things in the book. The one I really took to was corn syrup.
Yeah.
Because we're seeing sugar in its form.
You mean high fructose corn syrup?
Well, high fructose corn syrup, but also the way that the USDA did not, the corn, correct me if I'm wrong, in the book you talk about the corn syrup. Distributors wanted them to be able to call it sugar.
They wanted to be able to call it sugar, right?
Oh,
but so it would go ahead.
That's funny.
It wasn't permitted because it was a liquid substance, and they wouldn't the sugar association. It was like this: the corn association and the sugar association had sort of this huge fallout because. You know, high fructose corn syrup was so mainstream and is so mainstream, or it's losing its, you know, it's losing its footing to sugar, to real sugar. Although now we have beet sugar.
Well, no, not only that. I work in the food industry too. I was just on the phone with the guys from Domino for a million different reasons. But one of the reasons was they do stevia now. They do agave now. They do, what's the other one?
Aspartame?
No.
Coconut sugar?
There's agave, there's stevia, and there's another one, too. But, I mean, they're doing all kinds of sweeteners coming from...
I thought those were your Greek cousins.
Yeah. I thought you were on the phone with the Domino's guys to turn the sign off.
That'd be agave populis, and, you know, steviakis, you know.
Stephanie,
But the reason I'm bringing it up is that they're on a roll. Like, in other words, Domino's coming back from a standpoint of being able to embrace... things that the organic people and the people who are looking for natural or a better way to eat are embracing right now.
Are these good things though, Stephanie? The evolution of sugar? Because I remember as a kid, didn't we weren't all those diet soda stuff was carcinogenic and they changed?
No, but this isn't.
But I'm saying it's a good one.
I mean, like saccharin.
No, I'm a real traditionalist, you guys. Yeah. I'm sort of a traditionalist, and I think that we should be eating sugar from cane. We should be eating sugar from honey, maple
syrup.
But
agave and stevia, you're not into?
I mean, stevia I'm not into at all.
Really?
I mean, outside of the fact that I hate the taste, and it is it has one of the most horrific aftertastes,
in my
opinion.
I kind of like it. I like the bitter. I do.
You're not supposed to snort it, though.
No, I like it. I mean, no, but that's like a different bitter. Okay. That's
you like that bitter?
I kind of do. Ooh. I kind of do, yeah.
So it gives me a total headache.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, okay.
I can't, and it's also highly processed. I mean, it's you know what they do is they extract the sweetening component, right? But they extract Reb A from stevia, which is the compound. You know, sugar, you're getting the cane. You're just getting the sugar cane. It's processed because it goes through a refining procedure.
Okay.
What they're doing is extracting the compound Reb A from stevia.
He's also one of the unknown members of the Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah, never got the play he deserved. Yeah. You know, he kept bringing up food.
You know, unless you're doing pure stevia extract. So, you know, what I always say to people is sugar, sugar, sugar. And what's happening is that we're going, so many people want less sugar or zero calories that they're going for sugar alternatives like stevia, even
or
though
agave.
or agave, but agave doesn't fall into this category as much as stevia does, that it's so much sweeter. Mm. Okay, gram for gram, it's so much sweeter.
Agave is not that sweet.
No, right. That's why I moved agave over here.
Yeah. I actually kind of like it too.
You do? Well, yeah, agave's okay. Yeah. But a lot of times it can be cut with corn syrup if you don't know the source.
Oh, really?
Yeah, okay. There's a lot of falsehoods with food.
Is there a good documentary on sugar? I feel like there should be. How sweet it is.
Right? Why don't you do it?
To be loved
by
you.
My roommate, you. Tim Eater X Janis, spent years on sugar. Just candied carrot and 2 liters of soda. I mean, there's King of Corn.
Wait, he's your roommate?
Which is corn. Right. He's my roommate. But I don't know if there's one. Searching for Sugar Man, right? Because I didn't see the trailer. But
that's the sign when you're entering Brooklyn from the Brooklyn Bridge.
The domino sign.
No, how sweet it is.
How sweet it is.
Yeah.
You're saying that Brooklyn is made of sugar.
It's a Jackie Gleason quote.
Ah. Yeah. All right.
No, but also,
so wait, I have a question for you,
yes.
though. So since you are a national...
Gustatory gladiator? Where are you going with this? Stomach-centric athlete?
Oh.
This is a question. Yes. I was discussing this with my 9-year-old, and we want to know...
Not until he's 18. He can't go into Major League until he's 18.
No, he's not.
Yeah,
he's not.
So.
But what we want to know is... How do you recover after one of those contests?
What do you mean recover?
Like the human body would digestibly. It's sort of an anaconda diet. I may not eat for 24 to 36 hours afterwards. It's a natural process. If Joey Jaws or Matt Megatoad Stoney wins the yellow mustard Nathan's belt, he wins 10 grand of prize money. They only pay prize money through places 1 through 5. Read my Huffington Post blog. But I came in 12th. I ate 19 and a half Nathan's Famous hot dogs and buns. I did dunk in rosé, so I had about 3/4 of a liter of rosé.
You were dunking
against,
in rosé.
Against
you were really dunking in rosé.
You know what? Against league regulations, I have a contract rider that says if there's crab cakes in Maryland, I'm allowed up to 3 National Bohemian Natty Boat beers. But you are not allowed to use alcohol in competitive eating. I did... Four contest suspension from Roger Goodell, overruled by our commissioner, Hungry Charles Hardy. I waited till the 16th bun to dunk, and I should have gone earlier. It was delicious. So I didn't get a much rosé. I did get almost 20 hot dogs and buns. That's all I got, a free meal. That's
How about
my
sugar?
Trophy.
Have you ever overeaten sugar in one of these contests?
I've eaten 14 years worth of cannoli contests at the San Gennaro Festival. And I will say, we used to dunk when dunking was allowed in coffee. And you talk about a high to a low. It reminds me of the dessert I made last night called Rock Bottom Tiramisu. But more on that later.
Oh,
awesome.
Let's
you
want to
hear about that now?
Yeah.
Well, we're on sugar. Yeah. I guess it makes sense.
Absolutely.
Totally
absolutely.
Makes sense.
All right. And this would actually, in your book, I wish I had gotten your book. I got it from the Epiphany branch of the New York Public Library. But it does have appendixes and it has a lot of recipes. How many recipes?
It does. It has 50 recipes.
50 recipes.
But it's not, it's not nightstand reading.
You know what, though? I needed it. It's refrigerator shelf reading because I've been doing, for the last 3 weeks, I've been spending $20 at not Whole Foods, but at Key Foods.
Mm-hmm.
I've been trying to do bulk burritos of a different animal. 1 week I couldn't tell what it was, but the others were pork and then sauces and stuff.
So wait, you're buying?
I'm buying
the meat wrapped in the
yeah,
the
I bought,
plastic.
Like we'll get on chicken in the second half of the show, but I bought 4 chicken breasts that were the size of NFL regulation footballs, Patriots footballs, not
how
deflated.
How do you feel about that, Stephanie?
Oh God,
I know. Well, we can get into this, but basically, I was like, you know what, I'm missing 3 weeks in of my pork, beef, chicken. In quotes, burritos. I was missing dessert, and I had these stale lady fingers. I looked up how to make tiramisu, and it was like eggs and cream and this. So I was like, how cheap can I do this? I bought a Hershey's dark chocolate bar, a vat of Cool Whip. I had some leftover coffee, the lady fingers. I tried to melt the chocolate. I ruined the pan. I threw coffee grounds in it. It looked as if an A-bomb had gone off at like the
it's
Oreo
like a
dread factory.
Pudding.
And I had it last night while watching Netflix, and it was absolutely delicious. Now, maybe it's 3 weeks without dessert.
Really?
It was. Honestly, it was pretty good.
You could have just spooned Cool Whip into your face.
I know.
I couldn't even get it out. I had
the Hershey bar as a spoon.
I had the Cool Whip in the freezer.
For
I mean,
sure.
It looked nothing. I kept saying it. This is not as aesthetically pleasing as you get at Di Roberto's or Venero's, but... You know,
I have a feeling that my friend who I insisted listen to the show tonight so he could get the information he needed for his family is not going to be coming through.
He's like, Chef Paul, what was that recipe for rock bottom tiramisu? Because
I want to feed it to my kids and their flame retardant.
2 to 4 servings? Yeah. So I wear flame attractant clothing. I didn't even realize you were supposed to buy flame retardant clothing for your kids. I don't know.
Wait, aren't you a Manny?
Clothing?
I am
like
a Manny, but I mean,
flames?
Look, if I've got marshmallows chocolate. I'm almost to s'mores. I just need graham crackers and fire. So if I got to light my Hawaiian shirt on to make the campfire. All right, I think are we close to a break?
Yes, we're close to a break.
Right. let's kind of circle it back just for a second. All right. So what would be the top thing that you would start with a family that wanted to do the right thing, but they're presented with all these different forms of quote unquote information, and they just need some clear direction.
So my biggest thing, the first thing that I say, and I was speaking at a local high school, and the principal, who's got three boys, and they all play ice hockey because I'm an avid ice hockey fan, so I'll always interlace that into stories. He's listening to everything I'm saying, and he goes, "Stephanie, if you could tell me one place that I could start, where would that be?" I said, "Adam, stop giving your kids Gatorade." Okay. So what I said to him, he goes, "Oh, okay, that's doable. What could I do instead?" I said, "You know, not my top choice, but vitamin water is a better option." And so what I like to tell people is, if you're going to start somewhere, start on the food dyes, because food dyes are in everything from pickles to candy to sodas, sometimes even baked goods. And there's so much research out there today that questions the health of these dyes.
So wait, what you're saying is, when we paint our food,
exactly.
Oh. Okay,
exactly.
with colors that don't actually happen in nature.
You mean the grimace shake? You've never seen the grimace shake.
Like here's a good one: blue raspberry.
Yes.
Okay, that's the one I always love. You're saying that's bad.
Yeah.
Okay.
And Gatorade, all flavors, even cucumber lime, only available in Chicago bodegas. Because I'm trying to get a sponsorship deal with them.
But you sent us the list of the food dyes, a rainbow of risks from the Center of Science and Public Interest.
Yeah. So I always like to go back to a little bit of science. You know, and I don't expect people to read through all the crap that
I just don't expect people to read.
Right.
It's funny though. Orange B, which is probably something that you would find in Gatorade, is simply explained here as toxic.
Toxic. Well, it's not even actually allowed anymore.
Yeah.
It's not even allowed anymore.
That's like that part of
so we have to get that Gatorade flavor orange sandwich now if we want to stock up.
There are only three dyes actually that are used. It's red number 40, yellow number 5, and yellow number 6. That makes up 90% of the dye in foods.
Are all three bad?
So that's like the RGB of foods.
But
like,
the axis of evil dyes.
Yeah. Yellow number 6 only causes possible adrenal and testicular tumors. So just give it to your daughter because they don't.
Well,
have
exactly.
It.
You know. But you know what, Paul? I'm going to add to that. Yeah. I'm going to add to that when this research was done, okay, it wasn't done for multiple use dyes. It was single use dyes, and it was never done on kids. So think today, guys. There are kids having, you know, whether it's a pickle that has yellow dye number 5 and yellow dye number 6, like Vlasic brand or B&G brand, to, you know, having Twizzlers or having some kind of candy or M&Ms, they're combining multiple dyes in one day. And so that's a toxic load for any kid.
I eat a lot of Twizzlers.
And the pod, imagine Easter in April, the Pods Company, because I eat a lot of those colored eggs. You peel this, and it's still there.
It's still
but there. I think that's pretty important, because I hate to admit that David Lee Roth might have been right about anything, but he was getting rid of those brown M&Ms early on with Van Halen. he was on the forefront of food technology.
Doesn't say anything about brown.
Does it say brown's good? Brown's all right?
Brown is good.
All right.
Well, brown is usually, you know, brown doesn't typically have a dye in it, you know, usually, so... It's all the other bright colors.
Yeah, no, I'm pretty sure.
Orange is
there's a dye in the
brown. No, I don't know if there is in the brown. There may be, but it's the combination. Because how are you going to achieve brown?
Brown is orange and blue, right?
Well, I mean
that's what art school used to tell me. It's orange and blue.
Right. So other than brown, you're not using an orange dye. Yeah. You're only it's red. Red and yellow, really, that they're using. Hmm. Unless there's sometimes a blue lake that they use. So it's I guess what I would just say, if there's anything preachy I'm going to say on the show.
Please, preach to the choir.
It's, you know, for parents out there, just try to get rid of those dyes for the kids, because they are so toxic. And there are even candy companies, like Mars has committed now to removing all dyes from their candies, I think by 2018.
Yeah, 2018. It's going to take a while.
2018, it's going to take 3 years for them to pull that out.
So wait, Mars, M&M Mars is going to pull...
Yeah, they're going to do it.
They're going to do it.
They're going to figure it out.
This is why this research.
Cake Man Raven makes a red velvet.
So in other words, Starburst are going to be a uniform beige.
It's going to be a monochrome of flavors. Yeah.
No, guys, I am totally not messing around.
No,
it's
true. I read this.
These companies are shifting now because of the research.
No, and I see it too, but I don't understand how something like a Starburst can be made.
Okay, you know what? Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something. My six-year-old made soda the other day, and he made three different shades of red by putting beets in the soda for different in the seltzer for different amounts of time.
Yeah, but that sounds like awful soda to me.
No, it was in the dye. Yeah. The color absorbs so quickly.
Yeah.
So there are ways. There's this great company called India Tree. So IndiaTree.com that I love, and they've got all those decorations that you would use for cookies and cakes and candies, dye-free. Like, it's all natural dyes.
Cool.
All right, so, I mean, we're not going to take a break because it's
we're just gonna keep
five
going.
Minutes. Five
so that announcement at Woodstock was correct, then. Don't eat the brown acid, but eat the brown food. what other topics do you have there, Chef Paul, that we can... Because I'm learning so much.
Yeah.
That I'm going to change my diet right after I finish that South American chili donut.
Well, I know that you do talk a lot about the labels, food label deconstruction.
Yeah, I do. I do talk a lot about that because they piss me off, all those fake labels on food.
Right.
Okay, define fake. What's a fake label?
So I was in the grocery store today with my younger son, and he's like, "Mom, look, grass-fed beef." I'm like,
"Okay."
Yeah, I'm not buying that grass-fed beef. He goes, "Mom, you don't believe the label?" I'm like, no, I don't believe the label.
Well, why didn't you believe the label?
Because it's not verified by a third party. Companies can smack any old label that they want or any old claim that they want on their food because, unfortunately, our government does not regulate what companies do before they do it.
So,
well, it's like fast food places saying 100% Angus burger.
Right.
And I have a hard time believing that.
Well,
without
Angus
the
is
webcam
just genetics.
On the cow, yeah. You know, I follow a lot of...
But wait, what about no, let's go back to grass-fed for a second.
All right.
Okay.
How can you claim it's 100% grass-fed if it's 100%, if it's not 100% fed by grass? Is there a different type of grass that's a problem? I mean, what's the...
No. So let's take palm, for example. Palm Wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay. Away from the cows.
I actually kind of
palm
love,
wonderful. Dishwashing detergent?
No, it's pomegranate juice.
Oh, palm.
That I use in my shakes.
I can't afford
that. I use
that.
It in my shakes in the morning, so go ahead.
No, which is totally fine.
Yeah.
Okay, but what they did was they put these claims on their bottle, claiming that it resolves erectile dysfunction.
What?
Maybe if you empty the liquid out and use the bottle.
Yeah.
Those things are shaped kind of oddly, but I think I could get in there.
No, it does kind of look like a pump of some kind. It does. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
So heart disease, cancer. So they made all these claims.
Really?
And so
there's
been this fight for years where what happens is that when a company makes a claim, if consumers come together and they say, wait a second, we don't believe these claims or how could they be making these claims or how could they be smacking these labels on, you could prompt investigations into these companies through the Federal Trade Commission.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and the FTC looks into this. And, I mean, this happened years ago with so many different products and it still happens regularly. Like Rice Krispies, they came out with this big banner that says boosts immunity.
Mm.
Okay.
If you have half a brain, are you eating?
You can't rely on that.
Snap, crackle, and pop. You're gonna listen to three guys named Snap, Crackle, and Pop. They're like boost immunity. We won't beat you up or something.
Yeah. I mean,
it's like Snap, Crackle, and Pop. Add marshmallow. Awesome. Yeah.
So people aren't skeptical shoppers. That's the bottom line. So we saw this meat today, and I wouldn't buy it. My younger son was like, "Mom, come on, can't we buy this?" I'm like, "Nah, we can't buy it because it says grass fed." And I know the certifications. So American Grass-Fed Association is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a third party verifier. And I talk about that a lot in the book because there are all these labels that go on our food and we have no way of knowing if they're truthful.
Well, that's kind of the thing that I'm curious about. That if my friend was here and if you go to the supermarket with him and you walked in there with him and he's trying to do the best that he can for
absolutely.
His family. What would you recommend that he does? What does he fill his cart with?
So it really, you know, again, it depends where's the person at. Okay, so what can they do? What are they willing to do? Because I think that we have to honor where everyone's at. Everyone's at a different starting point.
And, well, I mean,
that's very astute. He's doing okay for
himself, and he can afford to buy the best.
Okay,
and,
so
and not everybody can though. But that's, well, not, that's, a, not, that's a great point.
Not everybody.
Yeah,
can.
Yeah, it's a great point.
It's an unfortunate point,
but it's a great point.
It is a great point.
No, and that's what I'm all about. It has to be small changes, and I'm not some, you know, I'm not some holier than thou, as you know, person saying you have to do this, you have to do that. I mean, this book is for the masses, mm-hmm. and it's really meant to help people do better no matter where they are. But for your friend, really probably where I'd start with them is with the animal foods and really teach them how to navigate these labels. Because you go in, you see USDA organic, and you think, oh God, I'm doing amazing things for my environment and my health by buying USDA organic meats. And you have to decide as a consumer, what do you want? Do you want, because I'm a, you know, I'm a huge high humane welfare for animals, because mm-hmm. I believe that we are what we eat, but we are what they ate mm-hmm. and how they were treated. And so it's just one of my diehard passions. Mm-hmm. And so the highest humane welfare certification is animal welfare approved, and it's a growing organization. It's a non-governmental organization, and it is completely an animal centric system. Okay, where the animals are 100% grass-fed. They do not believe in prophylactic antibiotics, but they do believe that if an animal is suffering and needs medication.
He read the comic book for George Orwell's Animal Farm. He's like, oh, wait, let me bring up panel 14.
He's like, well,
you know, when Petey the Pig was a, what, do you have a, sorry, meat, do you have a meat of choice?
We're back in prophylactics.
That's what got him going. I should have known.
Yeah. Wait, prophylactic.
Which animal's handing out the condoms?
Oh my God. I feel like I'm sitting around my kitchen table growing up.
You need a stick that you can whack us as
sugar cane. Whack us with sugar cane.
No, I love it. I was trained well.
Do you have a meat of choice that you eat regularly?
I don't eat a ton of meat, quite honestly, but what I do if I'm eating animal foods, if I can't get foods that were animal welfare approved, or I can't go to a local farm and meet the farmer and know what I'm getting, I'll go with Certified Humane, which is sort of the second highest welfare. And you can find that more regularly in markets these days. Murray's Chicken is a perfect example.
Yeah, Murray's.
Yeah. So, and I don't
believe
that's
like a scene out of Portlandia. I mean, who goes to the farm?
Right,
to meet
right.
the farmer, you know. I mean,
yeah. No, did the chicken it, have it really is. It's really where do you live, yeah. right? Where do you live?
Was the farmer a nice guy?
Listen, we live in this. You know, you guys live in the city here, but there are so many farmers markets now where you can go and you can.
Now I'm in Jackson Heights. We have an amazing farmers market.
Well, don't forget also online.
And the growers actually show up.
Yeah, but what about Heritage Foods USA? I mean, we had Patrick on. Thank you. Oh. We had Patrick on the Carnivore's Manifesto saying you
Kiss
have to
ass.
Eat these. Absolutely, you have to eat these animals to help them survive. And I did. I had a heritage turkey, and I have to say, like, no BS. It was better than any turkey I'd ever had.
But being a heritage turkey doesn't say anything. It's about its treatment, how it was raised.
Well, I would agree. If I can meet the animal before and get a sense of it, in Singapore, the best crab I had was Clarence the Crab. I met him, I commuted with him, and then half was served salt and pepper style, half was served their kind of like tomato sauce. It was great. I like that. I don't mind getting in deep
animal
with the
foods is a tough conversation for me, because that is like one place where I feel that people are getting so duped in such a serious way.
How about this? How about if we just kind of took it down the middle? The middle class family, you know, they don't have a lot of money. They're not, you know, below the poverty line, but just the average everyday Joe that they want to do the best for themselves. What's the answer for them?
I mean, I think that the general answer is what I try to impress upon people is if you can buy less animal foods and get higher humane welfare. So not make this, you know, we are so overproteined as a nation. We eat so much that comes from animals.
Yeah, and but it's also, I mean, if I could just add, it's not just the animal welfare, it's also the labor welfare. I mean, it's
everything welfare. Yeah. It's everything welfare.
It's one thing we forget is the fact that there are people involved in this too.
Completely.
And in many cases, they're being mistreated. But anyway.
No, absolutely. Yeah. And these certifications, so this high humane welfare certification includes all of that, which is what's great. Their standards are great, and it doesn't cost farmers anything, whereby most certifications actually cost farmers something. This does not. Hmm. So But in the end, I think, Paul, in answer to your question, is if you're kind of going down the middle of the road, I wish I could honestly say, you know, this no hormones, no antibiotics was the answer, you know, or USDA organic is the answer. I think that's what we're kind of brainwashed to believe is the answer now. And yeah, I mean, it's decent, but I think we need to move away from that. And I think what we have to try to do is focus on buying less animal foods, and the highest humane welfare that we can get our hands on. And approaching it that way, it's shifting a paradigm, and I know I'm probably asking a lot.
Well, no, so you're going superfoods. You're going like quinoas and kales and things. No, you don't like those.
I love quinoa and kale, but I'm not going to shove that down the throats of America.
The other day, all right, yeah. That's fine, but they taste good.
I mean, I love French fries.
Oh, can you see? I just see this futuristic landscape of going over to Coney Island. I'm going, look at the quinoa dog with a little bit of,
I ate some what I thought was sea kelp. It might have been a recycled plastic bag. Yeah.
even that kind of thing becomes confusing because you have people saying, you know, gotta eat quinoa, and then you have other people saying, yeah, but you're killing small towns in Peru. And
yeah, you know what, though? Like, this is my answer. It's like, eat a variety of foods, moderation across the board. You know, don't believe into, you know, all these food trends, Asahi, goji, you know, what's next?
Yeah, if goji it's, berries are all freaking
Twinkies.
All the place.
If you hear a lot about it, don't eat it. I mean,
really?
Honestly.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
awesome.
If you hear a lot about it, eat it in moderation. Don't follow the herd. You know, it's like everybody's like going in the same freaking direction.
It's like the way we're in music. It's like everybody's listening to it. We're going another direction.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
I'm against the cronut. I'm with you.
Oh, that started this show.
At a recipe that I could adapt from my weekly terrible chicken burrito recipe, cornmeal crusted chicken cutlets.
Oh,
so I'm
going to
buy, I'll buy better chicken and I can buy a little cornmeal.
Okay, so that's cheaper. So people go out and buy breadcrumbs, right? And it's got all this junk in it, including hydrogenated oils, trans fats.
Unless you make your own.
Just do cornmeal.
Cornmeal, really?
Yeah. Just get cornmeal.
Didn't we just talk about corn being bad?
Yeah, buy organic cornmeal.
Okay.
Okay, and just throw some oregano and basil and salt in there, and make your own breadcrumbs. It gets really crispy and really yummy.
It's true, and cornmeal is cheaper than Gold Bond. If you're here at the stove, and it's hot. I mean, Chef Paul knows. He's a chef.
I'm a sweater. I know.
That's actually very bad.
You're saying what I've been making in my pants?
It's corn
stove.
It's not cornmeal in your trousers.
Jeez, baking powder, actually, baking soda. I can't keep a track. I just put it all in my pants and see what happens.
You're going to be making...
Oh, my God.
Now I'm crossing my legs. Now you tell me.
You're making hush puppy batter. But that's actually a very bad thing to do because what you're doing
is... What, put cornmeal in your pants?
No, but cornstarch. Cornstarch is bad to use as a powder
because
you're feeding bacteria.
Yeah, you are, and it also turns into paste.
And it makes it terrible.
It's a slurry. It's a ball slurry.
Yeah, exactly.
It sounds like the hush puppies you'd make out of it aren't any good either. So why bother? The hush puppies wouldn't be. They don't taste.
Well, I figured like the pubes would actually.
So much for our family show.
Stephanie, I where do people get a hold of you? Because I know you have a blog, which I'm asking you to plug now.
I do. StephanieSachs.com. That's Stephanie with an F for food. My parents knew that I would be different.
And
Sachs, so they
with
they
an X or a K?
A CK.
There you go. Oh. Just to make sure.
Thank you.
You got the book right in front of you, there.
Yeah.
I know, but I'd rather she say
the blog.
So the blog is there. You can sign up for the blog. I you know, write a blog twice a month. I have a radio show on NPR, WPPB, Hampton's Local, called Stirring the Pot. I write for the Huffington Post.
You just had a blog about being a hockey mom.
Yeah, I wrote a blog.
Early mornings, I'm assuming, as a hockey mom, right?
Oh,
in the rink, cold? Do you have a breakfast food? Actually, what I want to ask is, you put anything in the coffee when you're in there?
I actually don't drink coffee.
What? Oh, no.
I'm not a big coffee drinker.
So how do you your morning drink at the hockey rink?
Well,
with the
other moms? So I'm like a... I like my vices, and you guys are going to laugh when I tell you what my vice is. It's Starbucks unsweetened green iced tea.
Wow.
With a splash of soy milk.
I like. I myself love green iced tea. I myself hate fucking Starbucks. But
I should too, based on a lot of what they're doing.
But I love Teavana and I love Tazo. I do. I love both those brands, okay. And I actually like Evolution, too. I like that brand, too.
Yeah, no, it's a decent brand.
But the Starbucks brands, I don't like. Wow. I mean, Starbucks products, I don't like.
That was a foreign language to me, Paul. I have no idea what they were talking about.
It's all Starbucks brands. From New
Orleans, let me ask you something real quick before we go. How did you feel about the Pope coming out against GMOs?
The Pope coming out against... I love anybody who comes out against GMOs.
How do you feel about him changing at Burger King, though?
How do you feel about the Pope just coming out? Because I'd love to see that.
Anyone who comes out against GMOs is okay in my book.
Well, the guy in the funny hat, he's Hillary pretty
Clinton.
High ranking. Yeah.
Hillary Clinton's for GMOs, though.
Oh, she's for GMOs?
Oh, yeah.
She is.
Huh. Oh, fuck Hillary Clinton. I mean,
apparently.
I'm sorry.
I think I like her better than the Pope, though.
Like, I'm sorry. You know, I kept the F-bomb till now. You had to bring her up.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Right? You really did. You really you ruined it, Paul.
GMOs are really scary. GMOs are scary. They're a scary thing.
Yeah.
Really scary.
No
I think
food dyes, no GMOs.
Well, listen, GMOs are impossible to avoid. Mm-hmm. They really are. And we just don't know enough about them.
No, listen, pure breed dogs are GMOs.
Totally different.
No, it's not. If you listen to Neil deGrasse Tyson, he'll tell you that apples today are GMOs. Like, there's no apple today that occurred in nature evolutionarily. It didn't. We created apples because we're genetically modifying by crossbreeding. It does not necessarily mean gene splicing. It's true.
No, I'm talking about GMOs. That's GMOs in the traditional sense of the word with Monsanto. Those are different things. That's completely...
You're talking about criminal, chemical messing with our food.
Right, but that's how we define them.
Yes, but it doesn't necessarily mean that every genetically modified food... Which we've been modifying food for a long time.
You're referring to more of like a hybrid.
Yeah, you're
it's still genetically modified.
Yes, it is genetically modified.
We're talking about bioengineered food.
What we're calling it today. Right. Okay, yeah.
Is bioengineered food by compliments of Monsanto and Syngenta that they're
going
to buy.
That was like Wimbledon with food there, going back and forth.
No, and let's not even...
my mind was like, wait, GMO? Is that the show with Matt Lauer?
No, we did the bee episode the other day. It was another thing.
The bee, yep. Stephanie has a thing on ugly vegetables, but you probably are going to have to save it, right, Chef Paul? I mean, do we have any more time in the show? It's been action-packed.
We would have to refer to Liz, our lovely producer.
She just
shrugged her shoulders and put her hands up.
Yeah, do whatever you want. I'm actually very, very interested in, you know, it's strange. I know that we're not going to have the answer to organic. We're not going to have the answer to a lot of the questions that I'm asking because it's going to take forever. We would have to do a year of shows to even start to boil this down a little bit and to give people the information that they need. But in just like sweeping statements like the GMOs, like, so what do you do? Like,
there's
so much shit because right now everybody, what they do is they get their mind set on something and then they go out and they find the information that suits them.
So
depending on whatever it is, you know. But like, what do you do? How do you take care of your family? How do you avoid all this shit?
Okay, so you pick up a copy of this book, hopefully, and you pick out the things.
And that's it. Wrap it up. Thanks for coming.
And you pick out the things that make sense. But if I'm going to just tell people, you know, a few things... The ingredients tell the story of your food. So when you're buying something, buy something from a place of knowledge. Turn the package over. Read the ingredient list. If they read like a short novel, don't buy it. There's a great tool by the Environmental Working Group called the Food Scores Database. Mm-hmm. Just investigate your food a little bit more. We spend more time considering what kind of car we're going to buy than what kind of food we're going to buy. And that's crazy. That's just crazy. You know, this is our health we're talking about.
I don't drive, but you're right.
Food is the fuel you put in your body, though, yeah.
All right, so guys, we got to wrap it up.
All right.
Always the voice of reason.
No, we got to, come on.
Always we're
50 minutes thanks over. For having me, guys.
This is the Reverend Spiro. Paul.
Thank you very much. This is Paul Gerard. Stephanie, thank you so much for joining us today and coming all the way in from Montauk. We really appreciate it. Hopefully we can do it again soon.
Yeah, yep. My pleasure, guys. Thank
Crazy
you.
Legs Conti. I'm not going to finish that rock bottom tiramisu now, but I'm a better man for it. Thank you.
All right, cool.
Good night, everyone.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archive programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions anytime at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a 501c3 nonprofit. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.